All right, it's Joel Radio. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Joel Radio. I forget what number it is. I always forget the number.
2,492.
It's somewhere in the 60s, I think, but I could. It would take me 3 seconds to look. But.
And what if you tack that onto the original volume? One?
Right, into like the original
230. So we're like 400
something? It's over 300 now.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Welcome to that. How depressing is that? 300.
Oi.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Joel Dragomani, Corey Hall here as always. We're also joined by a guest, the guy making his return to Joel Radio, Matt McClary. How you doing over there, Matt?
Hey, what's up, Joel?
Matt's a great comedian that is here in the Detroit area. And also, we're going to follow up on a segment we did with Matt many months ago now.
Yeah.
And people probably thought we'd forgotten about it, but no.
Yeah, I wish we had, but no, we're going to...
Well, when you see the results, Corey, you may want it. No. We did the fall TV predictions, where we predicted which shows were going to get canceled and when, and we haven't done a whole lot of follow-ups, because until they actually... Like, a lot of these shows, they kind of let sit around, and they don't know if they're going to bring them back or not.
We did this so long ago, I bet there'll be two shows I've forgotten completely existed.
Well, here's the problem. Right? I'm afraid that somebody's going to go, like, there's no way I would have predicted that that show would have ran for 13 episodes.
Sure.
And I'm going to go, no, that's what you said. So that's what we're dealing with.
Oh, here, I believe it.
So anyway, we assigned a point value depending on how many weeks they ran and if they were renewed or not. And we totaled it up, and we have some... We have a winner and a loser and a second
place. What do we do this in, like, September?
We must have done it in, like, August or early September, because that's when the season started.
Wow.
But they just had the upfronts where they announced the new shows for the fall, like, a week or two ago. So that's that. Until then, we couldn't really finalize
everything.
This
game's almost as long as the Deadpool.
Well, it pretty much is. It lasts about a good 8 months there, 9 months.
Could have had a baby in the time between the shows.
All right. And you and I couldn't.
No, but Bill Murray could have had another one.
You were saying that before the show. Bill Murray has 6 kids.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. I always see that
He's got a bunch of brothers, though, so it makes sense. I mean,
I guess he's like a big Irish Catholic family.
He's got like 4 or 5 brothers.
Right. So. But I always, when I hear about Murray being out privately, he's usually like drunk on a golf cart somewhere with the bimbo.
Oh, I had.
So that's all I know. I don't know what he's when
a,
did he raise
he's
kids?
He's at a frat house washing dishes.
Yeah,
evidently.
He's.
Oh, a friend of mine who's like a Detroit musician ran into him at South by Southwest.
Okay.
And he just rides solo.
Yeah.
Like Bill Murray just walks into the bar by himself.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like America's guest. So it's like every, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think Bill Murray needs security. You know what I mean? Like, because if he walks into a bar. If someone makes a move on Bill Murray, they're getting jacked by just the crowd.
Right.
I think
well, he's
got...
He's
a beloved icon, you know?
He's got the personality, I think, to put up with people's bullshit, where it doesn't bother him, because it is bullshit. It does get to be annoying. It does... As someone who, like, when I do, like, stuff as Upchuck the Clown, that gets annoying.
Yes, your level of
We're
fame.
Dealing with juggalos, but I'm saying it does... There are, you know...
He's trying
there
to
are
relate.
Annoyances that...
I would say in the...
Being a celebrity...
In the... No, I understand. In the ICP
level.
World, you are the... You're not the Bill Murray, but you're at least the Gary Kroger of the ICP world.
I'm the
Chris Kattan
I'm the Chad Murray of the Juggalos. Right. That's what
you have some fame. No, I'm not.
Was that who was the brother that did
Brian Doyle?
No, not Brian. Who was the other brother?
Joel Murray.
No, he was the one who did the movie about the driving school, where he basically played Bill Murray. Do you know the movie I'm talking about?
That's what I'm saying. Mill Murray's
that's
got like six
the
brothers.
Murray brother, you never hear
Joel
about
Murray was just on Mad Men.
Okay.
He had a regular part. And
Brian Doyle Murray.
Is 100 years old.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for jumping in.
And also, I was thinking about it. Joel can hide behind the makeup.
That's true.
I can always take the makeup off.
Yeah.
Bill Murray.
That is a good point.
Looks like him all the time. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Why is everybody staring off?
No, I just looked at that. We went to a Strokes White Stripes show.
Yes.
That was like a previous administration for me, girlfriend-wise.
Yeah.
And like, when was that that yellow piece of paper?
It was 2001, but I wrote that article for NME.com. That's why it's up there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was the reporter for the evening.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that was
no, I know. I just
my name is on there and everything, so.
I know, because they debuted some new songs.
They debuted some new songs. This was in 2002, I think.
It's just still tacked up.
It's still, well, there's a lot of shit tacked up there.
That's good.
But,
it just drew my eye.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
The Strokes aren't even a band anymore. I mean, are they still
together? they're between albums.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, let's get into what we got to get into. Should we do the TV thing, or should we want to talk to Matt about his life?
Let's get this TV thing. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, Matt, you know, Matt's having some success in comedy. I would say. Would you call it success, what you're having?
No. I call it exposure. Maybe it's a prelude to success, hopefully.
You're taking steps to be successful.
Yeah, exactly.
You're at a point now where someone from Brillstein or Gersh can ignore you.
Exactly.
You are now
Where Jeff Singer can see me and go, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in a position where no one will see me ever. So,
well,
yeah.
Well, but Matt's traveling. That's the thing. Yeah. That's the difference in, and more than ever, I think, because I think there used to be a thing where you could stay in Detroit, and we all know these guys that are old fossils now, who are the local heroes who, you know, you always hear about the guy that owns, like, the big house on the lake.
Not happening
anymore.
And
he earned that by, playing sold-out shows in, like, six cities.
Mm-hmm.
But I think those days are over.
No,
those.
Long gone.
Yeah, those are long
gone. The regional act is
The regional superstar is over.
There was a guy...
You do enough morning radio, and then the next thing you know, you're selling tickets on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen anymore.
Mark Maron had a guy...
Killer Bees?
Who I'd never heard of. Yeah. Who's a southern guy.
Yeah, okay.
And he's probably big in, like...
I've heard of that guy, yeah.
He's probably big in four states. He's like Missouri, Mississippi, Alabama,
There's that comic, Tennessee. Bob Marley. He has, like, 20 different comedy albums about Maine. Just Maine material.
Really?
Stuff about Maine, yeah. Like, he's like the Stephen King of comedy, I guess, essentially.
You know, they called it a nor'easter, but I thought it was a nor'easter.
Yeah.
Is it just that? Is it that?
I don't know. I've never seen
I didn't
this
listen
guy.
To it. I just know this.
But yeah, but you're saying this Killer Bees guy is a guy that's, he's a big star. And,
apparently he's been around for 20 years. Yeah. 30 years, I've never heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Mark Maron had him on. He's a regional act.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Yeah, I know a guy who's like a regional. He's like a Bob and Tom guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me about like how Bob and Tom paid for his house.
Yeah.
Because he can play Bob and Tom cities and sell out. Mm-hmm. And then he'll go to other cities, and like where I'll be opening for him.
Right.
And you're just like, who is this hacky hack?
Right now, he comes here. Bob, that's it. We've talked about this many times, the Bob and Tom phenomenon.
Yeah.
In that Bob and Tom, no one in Detroit or Chicago or Cleveland or any major city knows who they are at all.
Yeah.
But if you live in, Deer Fart, Indiana.
Indianapolis.
Right. I think Cincy and Indianapolis are their biggest markets. But no one in Dallas has ever heard of them, or Chicago, but they
are sort of,
Boston.
What morning radio, where it used to be 20 different shows in 20 different towns, now it's kind of them.
Well, I think Haywood Banks is kind of the example of that here.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Who was a big guy in radio in the 80s here.
Right.
And still living off that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Haywood's a nice guy, but that's exactly what you're talking about.
Having that career now is kind of impossible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's
the Jim Harper and the Breakfast Club played Hey Toast.
Yeah.
His Toast song.
Right. But like, see, there's no more morning. Jim Harper in the Breakfast Club, and there's no more clubs to even go play and sell out, and there's no...
I remember, to bring a friend of the show into this, I remember hearing Baby Got Jacked on 96.3 when I was 9.
MC
Sampler, a.k.a. Harry Arden Barbarian.
Baby Got Jacked, everybody.
Look how well he's doing. All right, let's move on. Let's get this TV thing out of the way, because...
I'm looking at Channing Tatum.
Yeah, well, put that away. Put that away. I don't want to see that.
I'm going to read about... Magic Mike.
No one cares. I don't know why it's on. It's Cover Magazine because they want women to buy stupid Entertainment Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
They put Channing Tatum there with his muscles, and nobody cares.
All right.
So let's get into this. So we started out this. Now, what we did is we predicted these day by day. For these were the new debuting shows in the fall. So shows that debuted later in the year we didn't even give a shit about. This only applies to new shows starting in the fall.
We've probably had replacement shows that have come and gone.
Oh, absolutely. But those had no effect on this. We didn't pick on those.
Mid-seasons.
So we'll start. Maybe you want to just go show by show, and I'll tell you who got what.
And then we can
wax nostalgic about these awful shows.
Yeah, we'll start with Monday.
You're going to have forgotten about these shows, too, I think, some of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there we go.
Start with Monday.
Okay, we'll start with Monday. Terra Nova was on Fox at 8 p.m., and... it ran for 11 weeks and was not renewed.
Okay.
And that was the show that was on the fence, I think, because I think I think it underperformed and it cost a lot of money. Anyway,
it didn't make a full 13, did it?
It did not. It made a, it aired 11 episodes, and we predicted. I predicted 13 and no renewal. Corey predicted 13 and a renewal, and Matt was 13 and no renewal. So there you go. So basically, the way this works is you get a point for every number of weeks you're off from the actual number aired, and then you get a plus one if you get the renewal wrong. And basically, the more points, the worse you're doing.
Are you doing, is this a golf scoring system?
Well, yes, basically, yeah, because there's really no way, other way to do it. So basically, for the, for that.
So we're going under par.
Yeah, you want to be, all you right. have low scores or better. So anyway, for that show then, I got a 2, Matt got a 2, and Corey got a 3.
Okay.
All right, so let's go to Two Broke Girls, which may be, if I can just stop the show for about 20 minutes while I talk about this. This is the worst fucking show I've ever seen in my entire life. I've never seen it.
That's not
It's
true.
Literally people saying penis and vagina to each other. Uh-huh. It's horrible television. Somehow this was a giant hit.
It kind of makes you long for the glory days of Alice.
It's
Vic Tayback.
It's God. I don't even know who finds this. Who finds this funny?
You dingy broad.
It's so.
You know, my woman, she has this thing where if it's got women in it or right. is about women sure. or written by women, she'll immediately try to defend it.
Yeah.
Because she's always trying to break that glass ceiling. Mm-hmm. And she tried to pretend that she liked Two Broke Girls.
Yeah, right.
For a long time. She kept it up for months and then finally was kind of like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I watched, me and I think my girlfriend probably watched them too, the first, you know, 5 or 6 of these.
Mm-hmm.
And it just never got better. It's just horrible. The characters, they can't act. These two lead actresses are just terrible.
Kat Dennings is brutal.
They can't act. The writing is just atrocious. I heard that they went out and hired, they had the bright idea of hiring, like, non-professional writers.
Uh-huh.
Like, they hired people that never, it's they, horribly, it's offensive.
You know who they should have hired? There's a dojo master in Toledo
that
could probably write a script for you.
Anyway,
yeah,
but.
Frank. Yeah.
But we all saw through that that this would be a hit. It ran for 13 weeks. Well, when I say it ran for 13 weeks, that was the cap we gave ourselves. We said 13 weeks generally is a success.
Okay, but that was a hit.
It ran for whatever, 22 or 24. But anyway, so for our purposes, it ran for 13 weeks. It was renewed. So all of us got zeros for that. That's what we all predicted, and that's what it did. So,
okay. So we no don't one get points for being right?
You get zero, but low scores are good.
Oh, okay, good.
Low scores are good. You have to keep that in mind, Corey.
I'm sorry.
I can keep explaining this to you.
No, it's the golf rules. Right, okay, I'm going.
Okay, the next show, Heart of Dixie. First of all, did anyone watch Heart of Dixie?
No.
Okay. No, I forgot.
It's
that was a
Rachel
thing.
Bilson from the OC as a doctor mm-hmm. in like a small town or something.
Yeah. Did anybody tuck their testicles behind their legs and pose in a mirror?
Listen,
for
I didn't even give this show the courtesy of jacking off to it. That's how bad this was. But anyway.
You couldn't even spank
couldn't
one
even rub one out to Rachel Bilson on there. But anyway, the show, we all predicted 13 weeks and no renewal. It actually ran for 13 weeks and was renewed.
Jesus
it ran
Christ.
For, it did
Is
a full
it on
run.
The CW?
It's on the CW.
You know, what we really didn't factor in, and I'll learn if we do this again? CW success is different. It's like if
it's
a show
a
does
threshold.
Anything on CW, they'll keep it.
So anyway, we all got 1 point for that show. And then the Playboy Club on NBC was the 4th debuting show on Monday.
And
Corey really dictates this, so I'll let you...
It ran, what, 4 episodes?
It actually ran for 3 episodes, and of course was not renewed. But you actually were more bullish than I thought you'd be. You predicted it for 3. I mean,
got
for
it.
6.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm sorry, I screwed up. You got 3 points, you predicted 6.
Okay.
So, Matt was the big winner when it came to Playboy Club. Oh. He gave it 4 episodes and no renewal. And I predicted 8, so I got 5 points. Ooh. So, basically, after one night, I totaled these up by day. Matt is winning with 4 points for Monday. Corey has 7, and I have 8. So,
okay.
Matt's in the lead.
All right.
After.
Wow, and I don't even care.
But I actually saw Playboy Club and didn't think it was that bad.
Oh,
but,
I thought it was brutal.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that bad. And I'm comparing it to Two Broke Girls, which is the worst. I thought Terra Nova was okay. I watched the 2-hour debut of that, and it was okay.
Terra Nova was okay, but there was no reason for you to come back every week
It wasn't. You're right.
You watched it and went, oh, there's a dinosaur, and there was no reason to come back every week. Not at all.
So Last Man, we're going to Tuesday now. Last Man Standing on ABC. Yikes. That's Tim Allen's new sitcom, which... I'm guessing no one's seen.
That went right to the wire about whether it was going to get renewed
or not.
Well,
it ran its full run. It got renewed, and that's what we said it was going to happen.
Okay.
So we all predicted
they
that.
They pushed to the edge, though, about that renewal. They took it to the edge.
Mm-hmm. And then it was paired with a new sitcom also at 8:30 called Man Up. Now, it had a guy. Wow. Who's the guy? Is it Dan Fogler?
Dan Fogler.
Yeah. Fogler. Is it Fogler or Fogler?
Yeah, it is. Dan Fogler.
Yeah.
Dan
anyway, Fogler. Corey thinks this guy is like the worst ever.
Dan Fogler is the poor man's Josh Gad. I mean, he's brutal.
he's Jack Black Light, isn't he? What? Isn't
yeah, he's the cheap yeah. Mexican non-union equivalent of Jack White, Black.
Yeah, Jack Black.
And he's brutal. Yeah. Well, how come Jack Black and Jack White haven't done a show?
They haven't done the Black and White album or something.
Right. Why haven't they done a partnership?
That's a good question.
But Dan Fogler is awful. Everything he touches turns to a steaming turd. Uh-huh. There was going to be a Kinison biopicture.
Yeah, yeah, I saw his demo.
Yeah, we
that.
Played that on the show. And
I hate that guy. Terrible. I really. And you know what? I shouldn't. It's fat guy on fat guy crime. I should really go.
Be pulling for guys that look like us.
Yeah.
But no.
I'm like, Joel and I should go, hey, that's one of ours.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And instead, fuck that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Man Up ran for 8 episodes, but it was not renewed. So based on these predictions, Matt predicted 6.
Mm-hmm.
Corey predicted 5, and I predicted 4. So again, Matt.
Closest to the pin.
Matt was closest to the pin on that one. All right. New Girl on Fox.
Uh-huh.
Which is considered now the breakout hit and critical and
what?
Wow,
commercial.
What did we possibly think about it?
What do you think you thought about it? Because one of us got it completely correct.
I think it did well. I think I said it was going to do well.
Okay, here's what happened was it ran, of course, its full run, so we had 13 episodes, and yes, we all predicted 13, but only Matt thought it would come back for another episode,
really?
For another season, so...
yeah, I figured it. Yeah, I figured it would go come
you know,
back.
He's going to run away with this. This son of a bitch.
They ended up retooling New Girl about 4 episodes in. They de-emphasized Zooey Deschanel and they brought up the supporting cast.
Oh, okay.
Especially the guy that plays Schmidt.
Yeah.
Is now sort of almost the lead guy on that show.
It's not all her.
Yeah, they did an article on Entertainment Weekly about how whoever the showrunner is decided like. Yeah, we kind of rewrote it and did some things and made her a little less precocious and gave the supporting characters a little more to do.
It was going to be very difficult to sustain the original premise, which was Zooey Deschanel is so weird, guys don't want to date her.
Yeah,
it's
retarded.
Yeah.
Please.
So anyway, the show did well. Yeah. I think the show got better as it went along.
It's not a bad show. That's
awesome. I watched every episode.
I saw a few minutes of it one time in a hotel. It seemed like they decided to do Friends single camera with no laugh track.
It's a little bit. It's something like that. It's not far.
But you know what? If you stack it up to Two Broke Girls,
it's
fucking masterpiece
theater. Not even
theater.
The same league.
It's incredible.
So anyway, again, Matt with 0 and Corey and I got 1 point for getting there. We're doing wrong. Ringer was on CW.
Ringer?
Ringa. Ringa.
Oh, that was the Japanese version.
Ringa!
Ringo.
Ringa.
Ringo this.
Ringer, I don't even fucking know. Oh, Ringer was Sarah Michelle Gellar's show.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, and we were sort of, we kind of got this right mostly. We had 13, it ran for 13 and got no renewal.
Right.
So, actually, I look like I did a...
Was that another CW
show? Did a poor tally here, Corey, and I'm sorry because it affected you, but...
Oh.
Me and Matt said 13 and yes, so we got 1 point. You said 10 and no. So you actually got 3 there, which changes your totals a little bit here. I'm sorry.
Well, whatever. I'm not winning anyway.
All right. So anyway,
I'm shocked at how bad I was at this shit. I really thought I was better.
Well, we'll take a look at it. And then Unforgettable on CBS.
Yeah.
Is that J.J. Abrams' new show? What was that?
I forgot.
I don't know, but it's gone.
Thank you. Why am I not on Bob and Tom?
Anyway, it's gone.
You
like
forgot
that.
Unforgettable.
It's gone. And there it is. But we all thought it was going to run a full run and be renewed.
By the way, for the listener out there who doesn't know Matt McLowery, I'd just like you to know, Matt's response to everything is, you could give him a free ice cream cone, and it would be...
Yeah, that's it. That's a good reaction.
It really is.
That's what we're supposed to be hearing out of Matt. So anyway, for Tuesday then, I got 7 points, Corey got 8 points. And Matt was only at 4 points. And then Wednesday, which was really the big night of the week.
I mean, we can't recover at this point. McLowery's running away.
That's when all the shows debuted. Up All Night was the new Christina Applegate and Will Arnett show where they had a baby. And
ran a full season, got picked up.
Full season picked up. The only person that accurately predicted the full season to pick up was Matt McLowery. And Corey and I, we said we would run a while and get canceled. So we had 13 and no.
Okay, well,
so
I blow.
A point for me, a point for you, and none for Matt. Free Agents was on NBC.
That ran two episodes.
And I think I want to give this, I don't know, what awards do we have, Corey, for the show that actually ran the fewest number of episodes in a season?
That is...
because...
And did you, were in Boy Scouts, anybody? In Boy Scouts, you had the Pinewood Derby, and they had the slowest car award, was the Beetle Bomb.
Well, it tied with a couple other shows. It ran three episodes, Free Agents. Wow. Hank Azaria, and who was the broad?
Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn, yeah. So that show's gone. Ran three episodes. Mm-hmm. Matt said six and not coming back. Corey said six and not coming back. I said eight and not coming back.
So all right.
Matt, again, doing well. X Factor, which is Simon Cowell's shitstorm of the singing competition, of course, did well and came back. I think it actually underperformed, but it's coming back. Britney Spears.
Well, they fired everybody.
They fired everybody, but, you know, who cares? Mm-hmm.
Did they fire that stupid British... hand model they had?
Yeah, she's gone.
No, it's, the guy that was like,
oh,
the host.
Yeah, that guy's gone too. I don't even know who's hosting.
Yeah, he was terrible.
The show is coming back, and so we all got that right.
We all lost. That's what you're saying.
We won in through losing. Yes. And then Suburgatory on ABC was a new sitcom,
kind of a hit.
And it I don't even know who's in this. It was Cheryl Hines.
This is Amy's favorite show.
I don't know what this. I still don't know what this show is.
Amy is convinced that she's Daria. And yeah. That she's the weird hip girl that no one likes.
Okay.
Probably because she grew up in Troy. If she'd grown up in Royal Oak, she would have been not that cool.
Sure.
But look, she loves Suburgatory. It's nobody. It's Cheryl Hines from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
It's not actually a bad show.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. It's on after Modern Family, at least.
It's on that block.
It.
And that's it's
yeah,
good
that's
for
where
them.
They started it, which was good. So we should have probably. And I was really the only one that saw anything in it. I said it would run 13 but not get renewed. So I was wrong. I got one
and
point.
The rest of us.
Corey said eight, no renewal. And then Matt was real negative on it and said only five.
Wow.
So Matt got a whopping 9 points for that show.
Well, we were all wrong.
So I got one and Corey got six. So that's so Matt's hot streak has come to an end with that show.
No.
And then we go on to I Hate My Teenage Daughter. This was Jamie Presley's show.
I never saw one second of this program.
Yeah, it was on after like Raising Hope, I think. You know what it was? It was on after X Factor. X Factor ran 90 minutes, and they tacked it on.
That's why I never saw it.
Yeah, believe it or not, the X Factor fans didn't really like it, and it did not do a very long run. It ran for seven episodes, although Matt had it going 13 and coming back, so that was 7 points for him. And then me
this
and you.
This is like the part of the, like, before I was like an executive on a hot streak.
Yeah. Right, right.
And like this is the part where I'm asked to turn in my resignation.
Well, anyway, me and Corey didn't do much better. We just, we said no renewal. Oh, so
this
we
is
got
the
six.
Harry Arton the classic Harry Arton single.
Single.
Excuse me, I don't know why I couldn't say single. Yeah. The market popped. This is right when the market popped for McLowry.
Okay, and then... in one of the shows that, here's the show that outperformed, I think. Hater on the CW actually ran for four episodes.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay. All right. I want you to apologize to Two Broke Girls. Because that thing.
No, I never saw Hater, but.
I did.
It was a reality show, and that was different than.
I watched one, and it was Snooki and The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And. I swear to God.
The premise was, remember, this was from the mind of Mario Lopez. This is the show where people who hate celebrities had to hang out with them for the day, and they learned to love each other or something. So I don't know what happened. But
from the mind of Mario Lopez.
From the mind of Mario Lopez.
Should I use cocoa butter or aloe? One of them makes my nipples softer, but which one?
Do I do my lats on Wednesdays or Thursdays? Oh. That's what's in the mind of, you know.
P90X or Bikram Yoga? What do I do today?
So anyway, we all predicted doom and gloom for this, but only one person got it right, and that was me. I said four episodes and
am I going to get right one?
Corey gave it six and a no, and Matt said three and a no. So zero for me, two for Corey, one for Matt. And then finally, Revenge was on ABC. Revenge! I don't know what that is. It's with Madeline Stowe. Apparently, this is a big hit, this show.
You know,
these hour-long dramas, who fucking knows?
I hate them.
But anyway, this is going to be the new Desperate Housewives on ABC. They've moved it into that time slot.
Did they?
For season two.
Because GCB didn't work.
Yeah, GCB, they got GC the fuck out of there.
That was a mid-season, right? We didn't have GCB on the
schedule. That was mid-season. That wasn't in there. No. But none of us thought it was coming back, but I had it going for 13. Corey had it only going four.
Oh.
And Matt had it going too.
Well, I now have proven I know nothing about television.
Yeah. So Matt got 12, Corey got 10, and I got 1.
I figured it didn't have a long shelf life with a name like Revenge.
Yeah, well,
it's having its
revenge right now.
I'm brutal in this kind.
So for the daily totals the Wednesday, Matt, 32 points for Matt, 28 for Corey, and only 14 for me. So there we go. There's Wednesday, which means there's 3 days left, or 4 days, I don't know. Anyway, another page. Let's go to page 2 here. Charlie's Angels. We're going on Thursday night now here. Charlie's Angels was a big, giant, flaming pile of shit. Safe to say?
It stunk up the joint.
Yeah, it was bad. It was brutal. I think we all thought it was going
to
be bad.
You know, here, it's a formula you think you should be able to get.
Yeah.
You know, get some chicks, take their bras off,
right.
Put them in a tank top,
well,
make them run and chase after cops.
But
crooks. I mean, how is that hard?
The difference, I think, now in the 70s when Charlie's Angels was on was you can go jerk off to anything anytime you want. You know,
that's a good
when
point.
You want to see these broads naked, you know, not to mention these chicks are probably in more revealing outfits on the red carpet than they are on Charlie's Angels.
The problem with Charlie's Angels is an overall decrease in the value of pokies.
Exactly.
Right?
And you can get pokies all day on Just Jared or one of these sites.
Yeah, I know.
And what's the point? So, I mean, who wants
jiggling titties.
And those Charlie's Angels movies were successful, but I don't know who watched those, but somebody went and saw
those things.
Cameron Diaz.
Did you ever watch one of those?
No, no fucking way.
Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brucey Rue.
Yeah.
I mean, just rough.
No, they were hits. And anyway, the show was not, but it did run for 7 episodes. I think they would have had it run less, but they had nothing to put on.
Exactly.
So, anyway, I predicted 8, you predicted 3, and Matt predicted 4. So that was 1 point for me, 4 for Corey, and 3 for Matt. All right, let's move on to How to Be a Gentleman.
That thing stunk up the joint, too.
And this was, I forget, who was the big star? It was Kevin Dillon.
Yeah, Kevin Dillon.
Rhys Darby from Flight of the Conchords is in this, and we like him,
yeah,
and he's funny. But nobody liked this show. It only ran for 3. Actually, this was the shortest running show of the season, actually, now that I know this. It was not Hater or those other things. No, Playboy Club ran for 3.
The Hank
Free Agents ran for 3. And How to Be a Gentleman ran for 3 on CBS.
You know, Free Agents had a bunch of comedians in it, like Natasha Lazzaro.
No, did it.
And the guy on Daily Show, Al.
Yeah.
Anyway. It had a bunch of comedians, and they all got fired.
For whatever reason, we thought because it was Thursday at 8:30 after Big Bang Theory that this was going to be a big hit. And that shows what we know.
We were all wrong.
We all said 13, and so we all got 11 whopping big fat points for that. So.
Okay, case in point, 2 Broke Girls.
Yeah.
Has a dumb show ever done badly on, like, Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
People shit they bricks over Mike and Molly.
There's something about, like, Monday TV, you can be as dumb as you want to be, and you can be successful.
Yeah.
But then Thursday TV, you kind of got to be smart. I don't know what happens between those 3 days, but for whatever reason, How to Be a Gentleman didn't work.
Look, I thought we were all safe betting the over on that because
that's just completely wrong.
Stupid.
Completely wrong. And the next show we all had, Person of Interest. That was J.J. Abrams' new show. That was,
that's okay.
That's an old man show, even though J.J. Abrams, you think, skews young.
Uh-huh.
My dad thinks that's the best show.
That's a mentalist pair.
He loves
that
fucking thing. Yeah. It's at 9 o'clock on CBS. We all said 13 and yes, and that's what it did. So no points across the board there. Does anybody remember The Secret Circle?
No.
Jesus Christ.
No.
It was on the CW. I'm guessing that was some witch show. They seem to have some witchcraft show at a regular basis.
Well, the CW's still trying to do the Buffy. They're really
Charmed or one of those.
Yeah, so Charmed and Buffy. Those are their.
Anyway, it ran for 13 though and didn't come back. Matt said 13 and yes, so he got 1 point. Corey said 10 and no, so Corey missed by 3. And I said 13 and yes, so I missed by 1. Let's go on to a show very controversial. This one. This was maybe our most heated and toughest decision here. Whitney on NBC at 9:30. It was in sort of that post office spot. And it ended up getting moved to Wednesday. And I think it kind of switched with Up All Night. But anyway, Whitney ended up coming back. It ran for 22 episodes in full. It's coming back for at least a short run on NBC. I don't know what they're doing with their Thursday shows. That's another discussion. But it is coming back. And as we predicted it, Corey said 13 and no.
Oh.
So you actually came close on that one. You got 1 point. I said 8 and no. And I wanted the show to die badly because I thought those promos and stuff were terrible. But the show was not as bad as I thought.
It wasn't good.
It wasn't good. It was merely average, but again, I thought it was going to be dire because those promos made Whitney Cummings really look like a fool. And Matt said 6 and no.
Jesus.
So Matt was off by 8 on that one.
We all hate that bitch, don't we?
Well, I hate her less after seeing the show, actually. I hated the promos for it. I really did.
She is the creator of Two Broke Girls.
And she's the creator. That's why I hate her. Now that you remind me of that.
She could have been in that one.
Yeah, I mean, she could have been in that one.
Yeah.
And that horrible Chelsea show, I think, is gone,
that
too.
That got canceled. Yeah. Was that mid-season?
That was mid-season. Are You There, Chelsea?
That was unwatchable monkey shit. Did you?
Laura Prepon returns to primetime, but Corey says no good.
They were like, hey, Chelsea Handler, you're 35. Yeah. You're too old to play yourself. Let's get a girl who's...
35? Really?
Yeah, I don't know what Chelsea 36. Handler is. She's got a lot of miles on her.
According to her bio, she's 36.
Of course she is.
Right.
You're 36... Laura Prepon is 31.
Right, yeah.
32.
Yeah.
She is clearly younger.
Didn't Chelsea Handler play like her cousin or something?
Yeah.
Like her
It was really weird.
Sister.
Yeah, she played like her. Yeah.
They basically said,
it was really weird.
There's a girl who's 4 years younger than you who looks 15 years younger than you.
Yeah.
You old haggard piece of shit.
Well, anyway. Anyway, that show, Whitney, anyway, we gave the Whitney numbers. Prime Suspect on NBC, which is a popular British show. And they put Maria Bello in it and said, here's an instant hit.
It was actually good.
I watched it and it was okay. It was no worse than your CSI.
It was a little better.
Maybe
than
even
those,
better than those. Or your...
Well, I'll tell you what. I sat through a whole episode, which means it was better than
I watched.
Than a CSI.
I watched, I think, one of those.
Yeah.
And it was okay. But... I don't know. They put Maria Bello in a hat, which I feel like a hot chick kind of doesn't need a hat. But... Anyway, they put her in a hat. It did run for 13 episodes, but I think that was it. They pulled the plug on it. It's not coming back. We all said 13 and yes, so only 1 point of damage on that.
Okay.
So, anyway, the totals for Thursday, Matt with 24 big points. Mm. That was almost all from How to Be a Gentleman and Whitney. And then Corey and I got 20 points.
Okay.
So
I should have known Whitney would get picked up.
I think
Mr. Rhodes got a second season.
You know, that's what I was thinking. I think that must have been my thinking behind How to Be a Gentleman.
Yeah.
I said, this looks like a big piece of shit. It'll be a hit.
It'll be a hit, yeah. You kind of counterintuitively do it. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to Friday. A Gifted Man on CBS. This is that one actor who I like, who's in a
Patrick,
good actor.
Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. And you told me this was Highway to Heaven, and I about flipped my lid and said, this show will run for 50 years. And, of course, it got canceled. It did run 16 episodes. So it did make its requisite 13. Matt was the only one who said it would not come back, though. So, Matt, you got 0 points on that.
I had it coming back.
We all had it 13, and you and I had it coming back.
What was wrong with me?
Yeah, well, you that's why you do this. Grimm on NBC.
Yeah, kind of a hit.
Is kind of a hit, and we all said it would be a failure. Hmm. It ran its full run. It's coming back. I said 5.
Yeah.
Corey said 6, and Matt said 7. So Matt did the best there, but we all missed. We're on to Sunday anyway.
How many goddamn shows are there?
We're on to Sunday. It's the last day, okay? Once Upon a Time on ABC Sunday. Again, what is this bullshit?
It's a show for women. It's got Jennifer Goodwin,
Jennifer Morrison,
who does bad rom-coms, and then she's a witch or something. And
I don't even know what this is.
It's kind of Cinderella thing.
Cinderella and Snow White throw their tampons at each other. I don't know what goes on in this show.
Yeah.
But it actually did well. None of us had it being a hit, though. I had 6. It ran, you know, its full run. I had 6. Corey said 6. And Matt said 8. So Matt did a little better than us.
Shit.
Alan Gregory.
Well, that sucked a dong.
Yeah.
It was Jonah Hill's Fox animated show, which I said, those people will watch any Fox animated show. And they will, unless it's called Alan Gregory. So I completely fucked up.
Yeah, that's not true, because Napoleon Dynamite blew.
Oh, did it? Yeah. Did it really?
There's
a
lot of failed.
Really? I guess I'm just not.
Bob the Devil and Me.
Some of them are good. I mean,
I guess I'm either not 15 years old or I'm not high all the time.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I don't follow what happens on Fox on Sunday anymore. But I said 13, which was stupid of me because I got 5 points. You guys each hit that right on the head, 8 and out. So
all
right. Matt and Corey both successful there. Wow. And that brings us to Pan Am. on ABC. Now, Pan Am is a show that failed ultimately, but kind was sort of one of those shows that was on the fence. Mm. And it looked like, based upon what I saw of it, it looked like it cost a lot of money to make the planes were all CGI and the hangars were done on blue screen. And it was very, it looked like the special effects of that V series. You remember the
right.
V?
Wow.
Green screen. Where all the shit, everything was green screen. It kind of looked like that.
Sure.
So anyway, Pan Am actually ran for 14 episodes before they canceled it. So it did do a full run based on our things. But we all said it was coming back. All of us did went 13 and
what
yes.
What the fuck was
we
I thinking?
We all went 13
well,
and yes.
I figured... it looked like Mad Men with stewardesses, right?
Yeah, it looked like
it was awful. If you watched it, it was really bad.
It was really bad. But
I was just that show, American Dreams, that had a few years in it. That had like
that was sort of a nostalgia kind of thing.
But you know, I think Pan Am will probably be at the end of the year considered the biggest flop, even though other shows
because it was higher concept.
Yeah, and it was had more expectations, and I think people will remember that as a flop.
Yeah,
whereas. Free Agents ran two goddamn episodes.
Yeah, so Pan Am's gone, and like I said, we all got 1 point because we all thought it was coming back. Anyway, so after this, we're down. No, wait, we've got the totals for Sunday. I had 14 points, Corey had 9 points, and Matt had 7 points. So now we can go to the grand totals. Anyone want to make a prediction based upon this?
Matt won.
Anybody figuring this in their heads? Here's the overall totals. In third place, where's the drum roll?
I know. Remember when we used to have sound effects?
I think I have a drum roll. I think. Doesn't mean I can get to it, even if I have it.
You remember every time I tried to play a drum roll, it was a disaster in the entire history of us doing sound effects?
Let's see if this is a drum roll. There we go. In third place with 81 points, Corey Hall.
Wow, I sucked.
Coming in second place with 78 points. And our runner-up for this year, if something should happen to the winner, he will take over in the event of an emergency. Matt McClary with 78 points.
Wow.
And I was the big winner with 73 points. So
you also did the numbers. All right.
Yeah, and I did. Well, hey, now. You know what it is? Here's the deal. Matt was the most accurate most of the time.
Yeah.
But Matt had a big whiff on Revenge.
Oh, okay.
And Suburgatory, where you got 12 points and I got 1 and 9 and 1.
What,
so really,
what day was that?
That was Wednesday. That's when most of the shows debuted, and so that was really the Wednesday was sort of the day that decided it all. When you look back on, anyway, if anyone wants to look at these, feel free. But there's your.
I can't believe how subpar.
Well, here's the thing to learn. This is what I've learned on these. It's easy to go too low, I think.
Okay.
I mean, Playboy Club ran 3, Free Agents ran 3, Hater ran 4. But then everything, How to Be a Gentleman ran 3, but then everything else ran 7 or 8. So,
well, see, that was, I think I was trying to go for that on some of these 6 picks. Because if the studio invested in it, I'm going to run at least 6.
I think I said 8, and I might have said this after we did this, so I didn't tip my hat, but it seems like what they do is they let shows run till fall sweeps, which is in November. So that's 2 months of shows.
6 weeks.
And then when
the
shows are weak, they kill them during sweeps and put something new on. And that's basically 8 weeks of shows. So generally 8 should be
the mark.
Anyway, but again, they still do yank stuff.
We also learned that the CW will let shit run all season long, right?
Right.
Because they don't have anything else.
Yes, exactly. So if we want a sitcom,
they buy 4 pilots and they roll the dice with them, right?
If you want to have absolutely no, if you want to star in a show that no one watches and nobody likes, but you want to continue on and on.
Right.
The CW is the place for you.
That's exactly what happens. I think ABC's got other stuff to put on. Yeah. And
so what we learned is that it is unpredictable.
Wow.
And none of us really did a great job on it, but yet there were the lemons, and then there were stuff that were hits that we didn't think were going to be hits.
Suburgatory was way better than we all thought.
That did better. That was.
I thought the title was stupid.
I agree. But who knows?
Wow. Yeah. All right, good.
Well, you have it.
Well, we know nothing about television. We now been exposed.
I think I did great considering I put no thought or effort.
Yeah,
into it.
Well, you're kind of a prodigy like that.
Well, I mean, there is maybe a thing where you kind of go, well, if you just aim for the middle, you're going to hit it on average more times than not. And when you really put your neck out there is when you got it.
I got it chopped off.
So that was maybe the mistake. All right. Well, let's move on to what are we moving on to, Corey? You're reading an article about Jane Fonda on Entertainment Weekly.
She's got a movie coming out that looks just...
What is the name of that movie? It's
called Peace, Love, and Misunderstanding.
Yeah, well, that sounds great.
Because let's name it after an Elvis Costello song.
Which is 25 years old now, and...
That no one knows.
That nobody knows.
Let's talk about something important.
Peace, Love, and... That sounds like it's like a mea culpa from Jane Fonda's part for past transgressions.
Oh. Yeah, a little bit. Right, oh. Right. I didn't mean to sit in the lap of Ho Chi Minh.
Right.
I was really
right. Yeah.
I was not trying to give comfort to the enemy that was sending our boys home in a fucking body bag.
When the VC were fucking me up the ass, I don't
really
know when that
I really want to get Kinnison.
Yeah, you got very Kinnison on
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you teaching Rodney now?
Right,
is he
exactly.
in the class? Yeah.
Exactly. I shouldn't have been giving hand jobs to Charlie.
Anyway, so should we do movies, or do we want to once again try to tread on Matt McClary's career and figure out what's going on with that?
What's going on? Let's get deep inside Matt
McClary.
Well,
Matt told me in a pre-interview. I'll try to recap. Matt recently did the Portland Comedy Fest.
The Bridgetown Comedy
Festival in Portland.
Yeah.
And then you did something in New York. What was the name of that one?
Why would they name that something that no one will know outside of like 20 block radio?
Why not name it the Portland Comedy Fest?
They should. Yeah. Guy from put it together. It's a comic from Ann Arbor originally.
It'd be like if we had the Woodbridge Comedy Festival in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no one would know what that was.
I don't even know where that is.
Right. It's a neighborhood in Detroit.
Yeah.
The Midtown Comedy Fest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was there. I did the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival.
Detroit. No one knows what that means.
Yeah. Atlanta. You could do. Why not the Motown Comedy Festival? That's like, I mean, that has a different connotation to it.
I think because somebody owns the rights.
Yeah, Motown.
Motor City Comedy Festival.
Motor City, you could probably.
The Hockey Town Comedy Festival.
How about the North of 8 Mile Comedy Festival?
Yeah.
The White Flight Comedy Festival.
The Oakland County No Darkies Allowed Festival. What would they call it? I don't know. Yes. Oh, no, Mike McDaniel was probably on the show.
Yeah,
so.
they had.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so you did all these festivals, Atlanta, Portland, New York. And that's good. That's they're supposedly industry exposure is what they tell you. And you go out, and some of those festivals, I'm guessing, are actually hard to get into, I'm thinking.
A little bit, yeah. I mean,
What did it take to get into Laughing Skull, which I hear is a good festival?
It is a good festival. I mean, the first year I did it, there was actually some... there was more preliminary rounds, and I won one in Ann Arbor. This year, I did one in Indianapolis at Morty's Comedy Joint. I had a good set at that. I did not place in that one, which was odd, because the first and second and third guys... only this first and second guy, Ricarlo took first on that one, and so he obviously got a good spot and blah, blah, blah. The third place guy didn't get picked at all. And then the rest of their submissions were handled via tape, and I had a good tape, so, you know, whatever. Most of it's just a good tape and hoping. I mean, I didn't know anybody.
Did you actually send them a tape?
Yeah. I mean, a YouTube.
You sent them a reel-to-reel? You sent them a
YouTube tape? Now.
Yeah.
I know.
I was making videotapes when I first got started in comedy.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was making the videotapes.
It was a bitch to dub them.
Yeah, we had to dub them and just
send them out.
It was horrible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so Matt, you had your YouTube and you go out there. Now, what happens at these festivals? Where are you? Because I'm guessing there's some big names that people have heard of.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And they're playing like a theater or some big club. And then I think a lot of times these sideshows, and I don't know where are like in a bar somewhere.
They'll try to get like a semi-decent guy to close, or not decent, everybody's, I mean... It's always funny.
But it's about names is what I'm
saying. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Somebody with some type of name value to close a show. I mean, I was generally speaking, I mean, impressed with the ability they had in that town to be supportive of comedy and have people at the show, have audience members at the shows. That was all
right.
I don't really
think of Atlanta as a comedy hotspot, but
it is. They got a good little scene down there.
Well, I've played it. I've played the Punchline in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I did a guest set there. That's a real nice club.
That's
an A club, as you would say. In
right,
the business.
Right,
that's
sure.
The equivalent of the Comedy Castle here,
sure.
Or Joey's or something. It's good. But where are you at? Where do you fit in on the bill? Where do they throw you?
It depends. Yeah. You want to take
airport?
You want
to
take
that? Supposed to be in airport mode.
Oh
no, I don't. I'm not taking that.
I I mean, one of those shows, but I mean, a lot of the stuff is competition. The Bridgetown one, I appreciate. There's no contest.
Oh, so some of these are actually competition when you're in them.
The Bridgetown one, I mean, I did three different showcases. One of them I closed, and it was, I mean, it was the first night I was there. They had me close and do extra time than everybody else, which was, you know, really thoughtful of it, which was cool. I mean, it was bizarre because I'm thinking my setup, you know, my line of thinking, I felt very square peg in a round hole because I'm a Midwestern road comic doing an alternative comedy festival in Portland, goddamn Oregon. And the first venue
But Matt, you've never been.
I know.
Like
I know.
A Detroit road comic. You've always been an alternative.
I know, but I feel like an alt weirdo when I'm on the road, and I feel like a road hack when I'm in an alt room.
Well, there you go.
That's that middle. But
never finding your place.
Exactly.
Everything's hard.
Exactly.
Everything's a tough fit.
Well, it was hard for me. I'm David Brenner. Yeah. And then
David Brenner.
The first show I did, though.
I know I broke into David Brenner.
Yeah.
I did 38 Tonight shows.
Yeah. Although the first show I did at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival was at an Elks Lodge.
Oh, okay.
Which, believe me,
well, that's what happens with these festivals. They don't have the venues, and so they have to sort of spill them out, and you go, you know. And that happens with music festivals, too, where they have, we have that big festival here in Hamtramck every year, and they end up having bands playing in places where you wouldn't normally even bother setting foot. But these were good. These good audience.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Definitely. Right. I like that. Yeah, it was cool. You know, there was a big star, you know, relatively famous names in comedy. I saw Todd Barry. He looked at me like I owed him money.
All right.
Janine Garofalo looked at me like I owed her money. Maria Bamford is a very nice lady.
Maria is cool. You can go talk to her, and she's not. She's approachable.
Yeah, I've met Maria as well.
It was nice to see. I mean, there were about people I had worked with on the road, Jimmy Dore, who I had a very brief exchange with. I only saw him once all weekend because he was lugging his luggage up the street half a block away. But he's a good guy. Very atypical for a guy who smokes a lot of pot, remembered my name and everything.
Oh.
But
you'd be surprised. Like, I'd worked with Stanhope one other time.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah, the place in the basement. And I'm like yeah. He was like, yeah, how do you remember this?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And I mean, I don't think he remembered my name, but he recognized me.
Just a lot of people who are familiar if you're into comedy, you know, and it was cool to feel like.
Was it a good vibe hanging out? I mean, that's the best part about festivals.
Well, I mean, I loved hanging
out with people.
I love the city of Atlanta, and I love New York City.
You love the city of Atlanta?
I really do. Really? I really have. How many times have you been to Atlanta?
How many times have you been? I've been to Atlanta many times. My brother lives there.
I haven't spent any time in Atlanta. Yeah, I've passed through, but...
Yeah, you gotta...
I've never heard anybody just rave about loving Atlanta.
It's nice.
Okay.
Atlanta is
completely different from Detroit.
It's not
that.
The South.
It is the South, but it's not the South.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people aren't from Atlanta. You know, a lot of people are from everywhere else. Mm-hmm, and then the people that are from Atlanta are just, you know, whatever. They're not your typical Southerners.
Yeah,
it is a big city.
It's the cosmopolitan South.
Here's the thing that I will say about Atlanta, at least even in a geographic sense, is like getting to like downtown Atlanta. Like, let's say wherever the big stuff is in Detroit. Like, you would say the big stuff in Detroit would be Midtown or whatever, downtown, Greektown.
Sure.
That stuff. Like, there's suburbs that literally border the biggest parts of downtown. So it's like, you can just take a side street into downtown Atlanta.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not a big deal. We're in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to drive through miles and miles of shit to get to, like, the sports arena or wherever
going
for the night.
Yeah, see, what happened in
There's
Detroit...
There's sort of a ring
What happened
thing.
In Detroit is it built out, and everybody lived around Detroit, and then they all left that area.
Yeah.
So there's now a buffer.
Yeah, it's like
they
this
all
weird,
decided and, that the houses weren't big enough.
And
Highland
in Atlanta,
Park.
Like, you know, where my brother lived for a long time, it was literally like, you know... You just go a few blocks and he'd be at like the Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice residential condo structure that you would never know. So it's not like in Detroit where you have sort of this like you have businesses that where people are there during the day and then nobody's there at night. And sort of it's sort of Atlanta is a very like.
That is uncommon. I would say Detroit is weird. And like Chicago, all the crap's on the south side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like you're right, that is a weird. No other cities like that where there's that buffer. There's like
Atlanta.
Whole
Atlanta
moat.
Has crap, but other towns kind of have it too. And Atlanta is very nice in that like You can just drive into downtown, like, without, you know, necessarily taking a freeway if you don't want to. And the stuff in the downtown is not, like, abandoned all day.
Or
abandoned all night or whatever. It's
it looks like Detroit. It looks like Detroit alive, basically.
It's like Detroit looks like, I don't know. Atlanta with AIDS or something. Isn't that your joke? Or that's your joke about Kmart?
Kmart with VD. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, the Laughing Skull Comedy Club is in Midtown Atlanta, which is the gayest place I've ever been.
Okay.
It's the gayest. There's a club across the street from Laughing Skull called Bulldogs, which is a gay bar populated entirely by the hardest looking thugs I've ever seen in my life.
Right. You, sir, have clearly never been to West Hollywood.
I think he's saying is like it's super, super tough looking black guys.
Yeah, every gay guy looks like a cornerback for the Falcons. Yeah,
yeah. Weird.
I had a moment with Ricardo where I said, you know, this
really?
Is
going to... Really?
Well, you're at that bar. Why
might not? Might not have phrased that the right way.
Well, no. Believe me.
I looked into his eyes.
No, I said to him, you know, this
into
is...
His rich,
I had to ask.
Jamocha chocolatey eyes. And I said, he looked like two coffee beans in a Jamocha shake. Yeah. And I looked at him.
Why is that to him? So this is going to sound racist, but do you think the guys who go to that bar, do you think they found out they were gay in jail? And he's like,
a good observation.
I saw a dude. He had dreadlocks, and he was sagging his jeans, and he had no underwear on. But the dreadlocks were long enough to create like a makeshift thong to keep it tasteful.
Yeah, Atlanta. I've always described Atlanta as the home of the middle class black.
Yeah. Right.
Like
most definitely.
You'll see black guys in polo shirts driving BMWs.
Oh yeah.
You know, with golf clubs in the trunk, but you're not.
I guess if you're gonna find out you're gay, I guess prison's a good place to figure that out.
I guess, yeah.
Because you're like, oh shit, it's gonna happen.
Yeah. Not so bad.
Oh, I'm kind of enjoying that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this is good.
I didn't know this.
My whole life, I pulled a beanie, and suddenly I've discovered myself.
Yeah,
this is incredible.
Yeah, Atlanta's a decent town. I mean,
no, T-Bone, like, keep going.
Corey,
finish me off.
Corey, you know, you are a snob. You are an elitist
when it comes
to culture, and therefore you would never, you would feel that Atlanta is not.
Yeah, you would, yeah.
No, I
is
just.
Is not New York or Chicago or L.A., and therefore it is inferior.
Yeah.
When in fact it actually is more on par with stuff like
that. Yeah, it's cooler than.
No, it is. It is the capital of the South, so it is. Yeah. I just haven't heard a lot of people give feedback about Atlanta.
You know, I would say it's not exciting in the sense that other places are exciting.
Uh-huh.
And I think as a comic, I don't know that there's any more opportunities to, like, be famous or make money or any of those things.
They got a lot of work. They
have some work. You know, they have
work. There's a lot of good comics there.
You know, I mean, it may be churning that, you know, the South is the new Midwest when it comes to actually being able to do, like, one-nighters and clubs and stuff. But, you know, Atlanta's okay. I like it there, but it's not...
Lots of tattoos, weirdly. Everyone has tattoos, by the way. People you wouldn't think are tattooed or tattooed in Atlanta.
Yeah, I found one thing about Atlanta, having nothing to do with comedy, is that I would go with my brother, and we would just go out to, like, a restaurant or somewhere and find that the waits for, like, your food are very long. Like, everything there is slow.
Yeah, kind of.
It works It's the South. Yeah. And everything just moves. And I don't know if it's because it's hot there or whatever, but I'm just like, it's so slow. And my brother was like, what are you talking about? I go, this is the slowest fucking thing. And I go, every place we've been this week, it's fucking slow. The service is terrible. Slow. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking. Like, he just has been down there so long, he doesn't used to. You know how, like, we are used to, like, having things done at a quick pace.
Well, that and the I pace think the of weather Detroit, actually, the weather actually has something to do with that.
Yeah, maybe.
I was just watching an ESPN. They had a bit about how Brazil is trying to get ready for the World Cup, and they're worried they're not going to be done because it's Brazil. Like, fuck it.
Right.
Coconuts are going to grow. We'll go to the beach. Like, there's no urgency in that culture. And I think when you're in hot weather, there's less urgency because
I agree with that.
The
some
shit's
going
to grow. You don't like if you're in Michigan, you better get your shit done because the blizzard's coming. And you know what I mean? Like,
or we're going to be caught in a traffic jam or something. There's always
cold weather. We're going to have storms. We're going to have snow. We're going to have, you know, and the summer's short. You got to get stuff done. In a tropical,
but I mean, I guess in some ways that's a positive for Atlanta, is that there isn't that rushing around sort of feel. I mean, they have bad traffic and stuff. I mean, they can at certain, you know, hours, obviously, like any place else. But
why do you? Since when is Detroit the city that never sleeps? All of a sudden,
well, it once was.
Well, I know, but you guys make it sound like it's bang bang boom.
Everybody
I see in the Metro Detroit has a 1,000-yard stare like they just saw their house get hit by a hurricane.
That's because we're all unemployed.
I know.
Now.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
But I'm just saying the pace is different. I know what you're saying.
There's a different pace in Atlanta that really kind of bothered me when I was there. But I guess it's something you get used to. I guess I don't know. I mean, again, it's like you can wait longer in the restaurant when you're not going to have to get in your car and fight traffic for a half an hour to get home. And you know, like where I live where Corey lives is a little different, but not a whole lot. You know, where it's pretty easy to get around, but there's parts of Metro Detroit where it's fucking, you know, it'll be jam-packed, you know, fucking parking lots in the middle of the, you know, from 2 p.m. till 8 p.m.
I actually live in one of the shittier traffic areas.
You're right on the fringe of that. Yeah, you're right on
I'm right near it.
It's transitioning to that. Yeah, if you leave your house a certain way, it's not so bad. And if you go the other way, it's shut.
Yeah, I have options to get out of my house.
So it's, where I grew up, no one cares about this, but...
We have never done more riveting radio,
I know.
By the way.
Where I grew up in Metro Detroit in Clinton Township, Michigan, is like the biggest fucking parking lot of traffic you've ever seen in your entire life. It's goddamn dire.
Because where you grew up wasn't designed... For the eventual population,
they would just add a subdivision and go like, here you go, and
Rochester,
no urban planning whatsoever.
Rochester in Michigan is the worst for that because it's a small town that grew by about 100,000 people that they didn't have any plan for.
All right, let's move on.
All right, this is riveting.
Well,
radio.
We were talking about Matt's comedy career, and now we ended up talking about.
It's so fucking exciting.
Yeah, that's
that we got right into traffic patterns in Central
which is
Atlanta.
which is really, if you're talking about traffic patterns, that's really what a comedy career is.
That is, though. Yeah. There is a lot of sitting around in traffic.
Yeah, most definitely.
If you want to get from Buckhead over to. Anyway,
but so Matt, these festivals were good for you. And,
Yeah, most definitely. It's just nice to meet a lot of. That's the thing that pays off in the long run is meeting lots of other comics.
But is the expense worth? Because these are very expensive. You know, you do everything.
Oh yeah, well I mean, I'm pretty good about riding with other people, staying in rooms with other people, bringing. If I don't have to fly, I can bring a shitload of food. I'm not eating out every night. You know, I'm just
You know, clearly I don't have any roadmap to success, but I can presume from observation that in comedy it's the relationships you have with other comics are ultimately more important than trying to please the business people. Because if the other comics like you and have your reputation, they'll eventually get into a position where they have the power to say, hey, why don't you come with me? Or why don't you take a look at this
that
guy?
That can be helpful.
I just gave Matt a job, was...
You
know what I mean?
You see?
What I mean? But I'm just saying, that's how you do it. Like, you throw work to other guys.
Uh-huh.
You get in... Because some people will go into it and strictly go, well, I have to impress this booker, and I have to impress... But in comedy, you have to basically develop a reputation that they want you.
Uh-huh.
Not you have to get to them and pitch, you know.
These executives and people, you never know when, you know, you're going to get everyone, one of them to know you, and then the next week they're all out.
Yeah, right. They get fired too, so it's...
Right, but if you're friends with Patton Oswalt or something...
Yeah, exactly.
As his career goes up, the chances of you following in his wake or getting help are better.
But you go to these festivals and there's no guarantee. I'm sure there's a lot of people who go to festivals who... spend way too much money based upon the stuff they get out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
As far as like, you know, I mean, do you get booked anywhere? Does somebody book you?
Oh, yeah,
based
yeah.
on that?
I mean, that's what's helped most definitely. I mean, even if it's just getting in front of somebody you already work for, like Yoder or somebody. Yeah,
right.
It's gotten me more work from them just by having a good showing in front of them.
Because they actually saw it and went, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
They went like, oh, you.
Instead of relying on some waitress to waitress giving a report.
Instead of the imaginary card that the owner filled out after.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of the bartender who manages the club even though he doesn't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Matt,
and now
good to
more
hear,
bitching
and,
about comedy.
Any plugs? No, any plugs anywhere anyone can see you? Where are you going to be, Matt?
I'm at the Magic Bag apparently this Friday. That's going to happen before this comes out. I got.
Will be out by then, but yeah.
I got a show at
June 1st, the Magic Bag with Mitch Fatale, right?
And I got a show at Andrews in Detroit. I believe that's Saturday, June 13th, or is that
how
the 13th
or
14th?
Can we go to your Facebook page? Or
go to my Facebook. Go to my Twitter. My website, mattmclowery.com.
No.
Yeah, I the big ones are. I don't know if you have any listeners. I am headlining a Holly Hotel the last weekend.
That's
of June.
A big one.
There no, it's go. Not a big one. It's a headlining date.
It's a headlining date.
Let me have it.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, fine.
And that, I mean, the big one is actually headlining my first headlining at Joey's, 4th of July weekend, July 5th through 7th.
Look at you.
And if somebody, that sounded sincere. The hostility.
It is.
The deep-seated resentment. And
No, good for you.
No, I know. I know
it's July 4th weekend.
July 4th weekend. It's funny because I know that he's in his heart that he's actually happy for me.
Yeah,
we are happy for you.
But he's
Matt. No, no,
too.
I don't. But you're a good comic. I don't begrudge you anything. There's plenty of guys.
I know.
But
even when something good happens to somebody you like, there's part of you that goes, what the.
Well, it's you just seriously. A girl could walk in here and go, "Who wants a hand job?" And you'd be like, "That's it." You know, you're an Eeyore.
Are you feeling
grump.
That Matt Who's is the girl? Matt does Who's not the have the. You think that Matt doesn't want the success as much?
No,
as
No, I
you
want the success. I just...
know he does. Look, Matt is, to have a serious emotional spectrum disorder and still do comedy. Like, no, I'm saying you work harder. I think you work harder than a lot of guys, and I respect that about you. I do.
Most definitely.
But you know what? You're right. Even when I'm being sincere and nice, it sounds like I'm like, well,
that's natural if you're a comic. There's no way you can't not have that.
Tell this to the open micers who don't get that fucking shit. Like
what?
When I talk to them and they get
you
bruised.
Make them sound. I think they're just too sensitive. I think they're just
There's a lot of bruised pussies in the open mic.
Well, I mean,
community
they don't. It's comedy is rejection and at every level there's rejection. There's rejection from audiences. There's rejection from other comics. There's rejection from bookers and club owners and all that stuff. And it's all part of it. And I think the problem with your criticism of, say, a newer comic is that they're not really used to that. And they're not really ready for that. And they're ready to expect it from the audiences because they go, hey, I'm a new comic, and I get that.
No, they're
you
not.
You might bomb.
They aren't.
They're not ready for any of it, and that's what I'm trying to tell them.
They expect that there is going to be a camaraderie amongst comedians that really doesn't exist in a lot of ways.
I've always felt like...
When did you start doing Leno?
Let him talk.
I'm trying to make a joke.
I've always felt pretty strong camaraderie between comics.
It's not...
Some comics.
It's not universal.
You know what I mean? You have friends.
There's guys you come up with, and those are kind of your boys. Those are the guys that you kind of have. And you meet some other people along the way. But if you're a new guy to any scene... There's not necessarily that acceptance.
Who's that guy?
Who's the new guy? And when you're the new, when nobody knows you. I mean, Corey, I'll tell you from my perspective, Corey and I didn't hang out for, I knew Corey for almost 2 years before we had any kind of friendship because Corey was a dick to me. Yeah. He was a complete fucking dick to me. And
PJ and I ran you through your paces.
Yeah, Corey and I didn't hang out socially for many, many years after we met initially, but it was fine. It was up to me.
I don't know about many years.
But I'm saying we would do gigs together, but we would never socially talk in any way.
I have pictures of us celebrating the 2002 Stanley Cup.
Yeah. But that was, but that was 3 years after I started. All That's right. not, anyway.
Was that 3 years?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Corey's not, I wasn't a dick to you. I was a nice guy to you.
I'm thinking about the time. I didn't think I was a nice guy.
Just
because
you didn't make me cry doesn't mean you liked me.
That's the reason
I didn't cry is because I'm not a pussy.
And that's why we developed the friendship.
Because these other guys are pussies.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when Corey's a dick to people, he thinks that it's an important part of their development as a comic and human being.
My feeling
is that's something that's going to happen at some point, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Somebody's going to treat you like garbage. And
here's my attitude. Look, I'm going to treat you like garbage up front, see how you do, and then come back to you. Yeah. Other people will pretend to be nice to you initially and then treat you like garbage.
Uh-huh.
down the road. What's the better approach?
There is, yeah, there is.
What's really better?
There are two-faced assholes, and then there are people who are consistent.
I mean, one-faced asshole.
One face. All right.
I'm always really friendly, but you know, in my heart, I don't care that much, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there is an earnestness to Corey.
Yeah,
and there is a caring on it, that you have that almost is unnecessary.
Yeah, exactly.
There is an ideology that you have, which doesn't even apply. You know what I mean?
Well,
that really isn't part of the business of comedy. That you hold up there, and I mean, maybe it's because, and I think part of it too is that you have a romantic vision of things that you heard about but didn't experience, and then when those things don't happen to you, you sort of feel things should be a certain way when in fact they maybe never were.
I've experienced it. I myself, when I do well, and when I work with comics I respect who do well. They're funny
good. You expect that comedy is going to be like the Comedy Store in the 70s. Like, that was some great time, and everyone was famous, and everyone was making money. Meanwhile, guys were jumping off buildings
and
at
then
that
Steve
period. Lupin
no, no one
I mean, like,
himself.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so
no one was making
but I'm
money.
Saying, but I'm saying you sort of have this feeling that, like, hey, we can all be successful, and boy, the good old days were this, and if we could just get back to that. But I'm saying I don't really know that they were ever like that.
Yeah.
And you sort of, I think you have some feeling that if everyone was just acting a certain way, things would be better, and I don't really think that that's the case.
I do firmly believe that making better comedians, which is why I'm hard on young guys, is better for the craft.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because, you know what I mean? Bad comedy doesn't help you. But I feel like the
things that we see, you know, aren't written about in books and things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
People remember the winners, and the losers, you know, don't get to write their history.
Unless they get a 4-page spread in Esquire.
All right. Well,
how did that happen?
I don't want to. No one knows who that guy is. There's no point even talking about that.
No,
me and Corey know a road hack who was a nice enough guy who we actually liked personally.
He must have, but he pulled the biggest finagling act.
He has a 4-page profile in Esquire.
Right.
Really no career whatsoever. So it's amazing.
And the winner of a local magazine's Best Comedian Award pulled the same thing.
Are you at liberty to say who that is?
Yeah, Leslie Ann Thompson. She's brutal. She's unfunny.
No, the Esquire.
A Warren Durso.
Oh.
Go back to Leslie Ann Thompson.
No. Here it is. Here it is. Look, a lot of people go on a podcast and they'll go, well, I heard that you had a feud with Brunt. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. I'll talk about it. Leslie Ann Thompson is horrific. She's unfunny.
All right, listen. Nobody knows who Leslie. Let me explain. There's a local magazine,
and it doesn't.
And
matter.
They do a poll of their readers and say who was the best comedian.
It doesn't
and
matter.
And this
comedian, I know it doesn't matter.
This comedian who was neither funny nor successful somehow managed to poll or somehow distribute electronically ballots in ways that other people didn't bother. And didn't care about. And so this magazine, which really has no credibility whatsoever based upon this, allowed her to be the winner of this Best Comedian. And nobody, if you asked anybody in comedy, I mean, literally, if you asked anybody that knows anything about comedy, she wouldn't even be in the top 30. If you said, who is the funniest comedian in Detroit? I mean, this person's not even in the conversation on any level. I mean, there's not even a. You wouldn't even, you know.
But yeah. But here's the amazing thing.
Okay, but
I'm saying. I mean, so Corey is upset.
I know. Why?
Corey is upset.
Why?
Well, part of it is that we know a guy who wanted to get this honor and sort of went through the motions and tried to see how he could make this happen for himself, and then he found out only that this Leslie Ann Thompson had sort of worked the system to allow herself to win, and the other guy is a much more deserving winner.
I'm sure. Is it Bill?
Let's not. No one.
Well,
cares.
It is, but not the
Bill
you're
all
thinking.
Right,
look.
Okay.
My point is, sometimes in comedy, through force of will, and on a small scale, this is a small scale.
Yeah.
Or on a large scale, some people work the system. They work the refs.
Sure.
They game the system.
Yeah.
And convince people that they're better than they are.
Right.
And they'll have a brief little fling of a career.
Yeah.
Now, Carlos Mencia worked for 20 years, but he convinced people he was funnier than he was.
Well,
for a while, and then the general public took a good long look at him and went, "Well, you're back to playing Joey's on a Tuesday
but
night."
But you don't have, you can't write yourself a press release about how funny you are.
No.
That works against everything that you believe in. And so you realize when you go, when you open up a newspaper and you see a comedian featured and they say, so-and-so is coming to this club, and you go, well, fucking hell, I'm going to this club and no one's writing
Corey wouldn't write a press release about himself.
No, I wouldn't.
People that
I actually can't.
Here's the thing. I could.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're a writer. I know. And that maybe that hurts you in that. In a sense, you...
I have two careers, yeah.
You have two careers, but you're writing...
Barely.
But I'm saying, you know... The reason Channing Tatum is on the cover of Entertainment Weekly isn't because people love Channing Tatum. And we imagine that there's some editorial meeting that people sat around and said, we need to get Channing Tatum in the magazine. In fact, that the movie company has a publicist and said, we have this movie coming out. We'll make Channing Tatum available to you.
He looks like a really, really...
cover magazine.
I just want to say, he looks like a really, really typical, like, standard-issued douchebag, right?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I read a rumor that he was bisexual, which I can't believe he could be with another man without calling that man a faggot while they were going at it, you know?
The only way we'll know is if Channing Tatum goes to prison.
Yeah,
then that's when he'll discover.
Then we'll
his
figure that. But my point is that you can't if you want to be the guy in the magazine. And I'm not specifically talking to Corey. I mean, I am because he's in the room. But I'm saying
about it,
in general,
no one else does.
If anybody wants to be in a magazine or whatever, or be on the local news or wherever exposure you think that you want, or be on the radio. Part of that is the putting yourself out there. I mean, Corey and I got an audition to be on a major talk radio station in Detroit. And through a lot of work, which really wasn't our own work, we hired a guy to basically do the work for us. We made that happen. And nobody found us. We put ourselves out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so doing this, you know, whatever this woman's doing with this contest or this magazine poll is not that different from that.
Well, I mean
it's still phony.
Here's the difference. Channing Tatum's an okay actor.
Okay,
I don't think he's awful.
Right.
And look at the guy.
Now
imagine if McClowry had a personality. He's a handsome son of
a person. It's not a good one.
I meant a good one.
Well, okay.
One that's not off-putting and creepy.
Yeah.
Look at you. You're a handsome piece of... I hate this fucking handsome bastard.
No.
If we cleaned you up right...
I look like I'm handsome and I died 2 hours ago.
Exactly.
I'm just starting to get cold, you know?
Okay.
I look like...
That guy Matt looks like you see, you remember the guy that was on Fringe that looked like Matt?
Oh.
The doctor, do you know the guy I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, do you know the guy I'm talking about? There's a guy who looked like Matt that was on the show.
I'm saying he's a good-looking guy.
Well, that guy's a big actor.
If you didn't know Matt and you didn't know how awkward he is and how women terrify him, you would
and vice versa, I think, don't you think?
Yeah, right. You terrify them too.
Not every woman has a rape fantasy.
No.
And that's I'm not.
Is that your act?
It isn't.
That's a great line. Right, you should be like, oh.
Right.
But
not, I realize I'm not every girl's type.
Yeah.
So my point is that Matt is doing festivals on that, and that's that's legitimate, and that's all legitimate. But again, the reason he's in the festivals is because he's sending tapes and stuff.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
not like you know
the
he's
difference.
Sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring. He's sending out tapes. And he's doing that thing. And,
that's
but,
what I do with clubs,
no,
by
hold
the
on.
Way. Well, that's what I do with my club work. I sit around and wait for the phone to ring.
Yeah, that's we all do that. Yeah.
Now the
my phone rang. I had to turn it off. I think it was a club. I think I just
the
lost
difference, the
work.
The difference, and let me hang a lamp on this.
Yeah.
The difference, Matt, when he gets on stage, is funny.
Exactly. And then that's fine.
Well, that contest we were talking about, that wasn't audience judged the night that was recorded.
Was it industry judged?
No, remember the Improv Up Yours showcase?
We did it the
night before the last show we recorded.
Okay,
together.
And that's another contest. We're not.
We were talking.
We're not
about
even talking
that.
About that,
we
but
were,
it is the
were.
Same thing, so go ahead, yes. And we were all in this contest, by the way.
I mean,
me, you, Matt, and this person.
I couldn't get anywhere in the number of votes you needed to get online to even be recognized.
Yeah, sure.
And there was 30 comments. Right. That night, and I had the best set of anyone that night, and I wouldn't say that if that doesn't happen to me.
The difference is Laughing Skull, I think, is a somewhat legitimate festival in that they are looking for new talent.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
Improv Up Yours contest
was looking for
a way to get hits on the improv website. That's what that contest was. And if anybody can prove different to me, if Bud Friedman can say no.
The same woman won that who won this other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I thought that's why we were talking. Because
she campaigned.
Okay, but you know, I mean,
that's offensive to
me. And it's
Bud Freeman's a 70-year-old man with a medallion. You have to know he's a piece
of
shit.
That's keeping him alive, by the way. There's
the Iron Man?
Yeah, there's an enchantment in that medallion that's keeping him alive. There's
no one who wears a medallion that has integrity. I think that's a rule.
But okay, I know.
I mean, I'm not defending. It's funny because I'm not defending her to you. I completely agree with you.
You just explained to me I'm insane
there is a
for being
phony,
upset about that?
Yeah.
I think the problem is that, you know,
wasted energy.
It is a thing that, like, you know, if it should be you instead of her or should be this other guy. I mean, I guess part of the injustice is that the guy who wanted that honor, who would more deservedly get it, now can't have it. That maybe is the biggest thing, and he's upset.
Now, using myself personally as journalism, okay, in my paper, we actually do just tabulate the votes that people vote on.
Right.
And then we also have staff picks.
Yes.
Well, one year, Tim Allen won the audience vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Tim Allen, what, like Detroit's funniest comedian or something?
And Tim Allen hasn't stepped foot on a Detroit comedy stage in, I'm going to say, a minimum of 20 years, right? Yeah. No, but I felt that that was wrong, and I took my staff pick to name a guy who does work hard and I think deserved it.
Okay. Yeah, most definitely.
So, to me, it's not even that it's not me. It's that it's not someone good.
Yeah.
So
maybe
I'm insulted when a bad comic.
Yeah.
And Leslie Ann Thompson, in no uncertain terms, is an awful comic,
but
who's entertained no one ever. But she's hustled for it.
But when a magazine says, when they don't decide not to do any research, when they decide to not to, like, attend somebody's date or go see them live,
it's the magazine's
fault.
Then
that's the magazine's fault, and you're right about that.
It's double-sided. She's at fault. She should be embarrassed for taking that pathetic excuse for an act. And by the way, this is not any personal animus I have. People always imagine when I get upset about things like this that I have some personally driven reason.
Yeah.
This particular comedian has never had done anything to me.
Right.
To offend me.
Sure.
We've never had a personal interaction that went sour. Nothing like that. I just am basing it on the merit of her talent. And this is not a subjective situation, by the way. This, you know what I mean? This one's not some people think she's good.
Yeah.
No. Well, the result is, if you put her and Matt McClowry on a stage in a neutral venue, if you both went to Laughing Skull and you had 300 people in the audience, one of them would get a good show.
Well,
why?
Okay, but
I didn't ask to be a part of that.
I'm just using it as an example.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, Corey. I think if I can boil this down to something, is that you hope that whatever is inside of you, whatever governor you have on yourself to not promote yourself, and whatever sort of, you know, integrity that you have,
that's got nothing to do with
not to put you out there, that she doesn't have that, if that's her character flaw, that she doesn't have that, you know, she with a straight face will tell people how great she is and you don't like that because you don't have that ego.
My inability to market myself is immaterial,
but I'm saying is that what I think what well my point is that she what she's doing is how people become successful on some level.
Oh, absolutely.
But it also, when coupled with talent, will make you successful versus what she's doing, which is sort of forcing...
It's not going to make herself
successful. It's sort of forcing the issue and making people believe something that's not true. In other words, what you're saying is, hey, look at me, I'm the most successful person, or I'm the best, or I'm somehow at the top of my field.
All right.
And saying to everybody, if you tell people I'm the top of my field, then I am at the top of my field, even though they're not. You know what I'm saying? If I said to everybody, hey, look, I want you to write this magazine and say that I'm 6 feet tall, and everyone writes and the magazine comes out and it says Joel Frankman is 6 feet tall, I'm still only 5'8". And so it's still
At the end of the day, quality has to matter. And some of us are the lonely torchbearers for quality. Yeah. You are absolutely right. The entire industry, and it's in entertainment in any form, is a stinking sewer of mediocrity
it is.
And awfulness.
Right.
But here's the thing. Hanson, sold more copies than Paul McCartney did with Ram, which
I don't know that's true, but probably
Ram was a fairly decent commercial hit.
Okay.
At the time, but considered a critical disappointment.
Sure.
Now it's like every critic couldn't fall over themselves more for this album.
Right.
Okay. And Hanson, Mbop, no one is putting out in 40 years. No one's going to go, hey, let's put out a deluxe edition of Hanson Umbop.
Well, you never know.
It's 180 gram vinyl. You know what I mean? That's not happening.
30 years from now, it won't be us doing it, but somebody might. Well, listen, here's the point.
Do you know what I'm saying? Quality fucking matters.
I agree with you. Why are you mad at me, by the way?
I'm just explaining my point. And I don't disagree. By the way, I'm not disagreeing with anything.
Right.
I find marketing distasteful.
Yeah.
And that's hurt me.
Yeah.
I haven't sold myself.
Sure.
And I get disgusted by people that sell themselves who don't have a product to sell. Matt's out there.
You were the funniest comedian in Detroit in a magazine once.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I know everyone was like, how did he get that? No one even knew who he was.
Because I got the second base with the editor. But look. Actually, I hit a triple. Look, what I'm saying.
Right. Hey,
all right, let's move on. I think we all agree. We all know where you're coming from.
Okay.
All right.
The more we talk about this, it doesn't make her any funny.
You know what, though? I love Matt. As a comic,
thank you.
I'm a little tetchy, but no.
What?
It's a joke, you fucking dicks.
I'm trying to make jokes.
I know you're making a joke.
I just thought it would be.
I got to get to Martin from Bay City. He has some important thoughts.
All right. Well, Martin from Bay City.
Martin Bay City is called into the douchebag hotline.
There's a place my comedy career went to die. Bay City.
I think Martin.
Did several shows up
Martin,
there.
I think Martin came to my show in Bay City
Washington
once.
Washington Lanes.
And I don't even think he liked it, but I think he came one night, and I don't even. I think he listens.
The worst.
I think he listens to every one of our shows to the minute, and then I think I did comedy there, and he was like, who gives a shit? But no, Martin's a good guy.
Was it Washington Lanes?
Yeah, Washington Lanes.
I think it was impossible to enjoy yourself in that room.
Well,
Well, there was a bad setup, and there was a mariachi band playing downstairs.
Yeah, there was.
They did have Tejano music night.
I remember walking in there
downstairs.
And there was like 15 guys in sombreros. And I went,
what am I doing comedy? I think I went up there once and said that I had just done 30 minutes in front of the mariachi band and no one got the joke.
Yeah, and
they were pretty clueless to the whole thing.
You ever get in a fight with your wife about leaving the seat down and you're Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Guantanamo.
Right, well, anyway, Martin, he called 610-552-0746. That's you can chime in and tell us what you think of the show. It's called the Douchebag Hotline. So Martin, as he's known to do, checked in. And,
is this streaming?
No, I'm going to play his phone call. I've recorded it, and I'm going to play it back.
We have a hotline.
Yeah, Martin is going to check in. So if you ever want to call in from the road, Matt, 610-552-0746. 24/7, you can leave messages.
Right? Do.
Let's listen to what Martin has to say. He talks about we talked with John Tenney last year about who was coming to DTE.
Oh,
and Martin has his thoughts on that, which are
Mothman, gentlemen. Martin from Bay City here.
He calls you Mothman and not Merman. But
that was the
was Mothman the code?
Mothman was the code.
Oh, then
word.
I got it wrong. Well, good for Martin then for LePan. I forget what the code word is sometimes. Yeah, right, here he is.
Mothman, gentlemen. Martin from Bay City here. I made it to the end of another one. My endurance is something. Anyway, I was listening to the DTE lineup for the summer. I got to say, there's only really a couple shows I would see, and I've seen a lot of them bands before. The one you said was some sort of festival that had Anthrax and Iron Maiden in it. That would be a good one. Or I think it was Anthrax and Motorhead. That would be pretty solid. And also, as much as neither one of my favorite bands, I've seen them both separately, and they're were excellent shows. The Doobie Brothers one with Chicago, I think, would be good. As well as the one I believe you said REO Speedwagon was coming, and I may have to check that out because it sounded like a good lineup.
Contemporary tastes, Martin has.
Sounded good. Good luck there. Great show, as always. And waiting for the next one. Bye.
All right. So
well, thanks, Martin.
Martin. Nice guy. So check in.
I kind of get what he's saying. Motorhead is something I don't care, but I could see if you wanted to go see Motorhead.
Yeah.
That would be...
He agreed with us that it was weak. Now, we started talking about this because you were deciding to go to the Beach Boys or not.
Yeah.
Have you made your decision?
I don't think I'm going to go.
How are you not going to Beach Boys?
Because I got other shit.
What are you talking about?
I just bought plane tickets to Minneapolis, and it's a pain in the ass.
What are you going to Minneapolis for?
For a cousin's wedding. Her cousin's wedding.
Do you want... Here's... I'm, we'll just talk... If you don't mind talking about this on the air.
Sure.
I'll buy you Beach Boys ticket as your wedding present. Would you like that?
I'll take it.
Then I'm off the hook. I don't have to get you any...
No, nothing else.
No, then I'm off... You're saying I'm off the hook.
Yeah.
All right, maybe I'll do that. If that's the deal...
You don't even have to show up. It's fine.
If that's the deal, Corey's getting married in a couple months.
Tell Heather to take the shower
and if you
gift
want,
back. And
we can no shower gift, and you'll take Beach Boys tickets, and that's it. Now, where does the fiancé fall on that? She'll fall in line. Is she fine, or is it...
She'll be in line. Okay. We don't have room for all the shit we registered for
anyway.
Okay,
that's fine. Right. I was going to say, did that mean you're taking her to Beach Boys, or no?
Well, who am I going to take to Beach Boys?
Matt, I don't know.
Talk about a show. That's not a show where you're going to meet young Trim.
Well, how many more chances do you get to see the Beach
Boys?
He's got to go. Corey is the biggest Beach Boys fan. And yet they finally reunite, and Corey's like, I'm not going. I don't think I'm going.
It's going to be a festival.
But we looked it up. It was like $35 or something.
Yeah, I could do that.
It's like I just told you I spent $250 on Springsteen tickets.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I won't go see Beach Boys.
No, I just... I got a flight on Spirit, and it still raped me in the butt. You would think Minneapolis wouldn't be that big a flight.
No. You know what? The problem with it is not a lot of people go there, and that's why it's not cheap.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You think that the flight is based on how long it is, and
it's like
not
a two-hour flight.
But it's not based on that. You can fly to L.A. for $150 or whatever it costs, $200, right?
Because there's more flights.
You can go to Vegas for almost nothing, and you can go to Orlando.
You can probably round trip
L.A.
for $300.
You can go to Atlanta or Orlando or Vegas or L.A.
Those are hubs.
For almost no money. But yeah, to go to Minneapolis costs a fucking fortune. I know that.
In Minneapolis, you don't think of as being that far away in Michigan.
It's terribly far away.
12 hours.
Yeah, them goddamn lakes. If we didn't have lakes, it would be a lot.
Have you done Minnehaha? How was that?
I did. That was all right.
I'm thinking about checking that out.
Anything else? You want to get to movie reviews here, or what are we doing?
Yeah, let's close it out.
Because we're 1 hour and a half in, so I think it's fair to...
Oh, that's plenty.
We'll do movie reviews, and then we'll close it out. All right. So the big movie that came out over Memorial Day weekend was Men in Black 3.
Mm-hmm.
Corey and I both saw it. Matt, any opinion on that? I didn't see it. Okay, well, what did you think of Men in Black 3? And then I'll go.
It didn't have a Will Smith rap song, which was a change.
So right there,
Men in Black, Galaxy Defender.
There's a thumbs up right there.
It did not have a Will Smith rap song. I think it had Pitbull or somebody.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah.
You know, it was on par with the other Men in Black movies, maybe a little better than the second one.
Okay.
Which, you know, give or take. What I kind of like the first Men in Black. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, see, I never saw the other one, so this is my first exposure to a full Men in Black movie.
So you knew nothing going into it.
I knew nothing going into
it. Here's the problem. A lot of the jokes were rehashed. I mean, you know, in the first one, it was like, well, all these people are actually aliens, and they'd show celebrities. And you're like, oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
And this one, they did it again. So a lot of it's regurgitated. It wasn't offensive to me. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah. So
I gave it like a B minus.
What is your five-finger scale grade?
Three out of five, maybe.
Here's the thing. I'm negative. I'm more negative than you are on this. Although you have to say, there's nothing offensive in this movie.
It's not awful.
It's not that funny, and it's not that interesting, and it's ultimately not that good.
It took forever to start. The first scenes die.
Yeah.
I mean, just die.
The problem is that it's just like, you know, Jermaine Clement is the villain in this.
Yeah.
And you're never really afraid of him. You never really fear him. He's just sort of there. He's just a big makeup job. And it's funny because Jermaine Clement's a funny actor, but really gets to do nothing but wear this Rick Baker makeup. And
he talks like this.
Yeah, and it's nothing. He does nothing.
He does Bowie and James Mason at the same time.
Yeah, he does nothing. And, you know, Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones looks like he's ready to go home.
Tommy Lee Jones did 3 days on the movie.
With effects work, it probably was more. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
He's in total about 20 minutes of the movie.
If the movie shot for 8 weeks, Tommy Lee Jones shot for a week of that. I mean, he wasn't there long.
Sure.
So
yeah, Tommy Lee Jones looks like he doesn't want to be there.
There were big reshoots on that, too.
And then you're just sort of left. I don't know. It just feels like, to me, and not knowing Men in Black, it felt like the world of Men in Black, the Men in Black universe, felt very boring to me. It felt very dull. It just nothing worked. The critters, the creatures were not scary to me.
They weren't as good.
It wasn't that funny to me. It was like...
I think the aliens in the first one were a little better.
Right.
The second one had Johnny Knoxville and was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
This one was better than the second one. Brolin was good.
That is the high point, I think.
Josh Brolin held it together.
Yeah,
that was funny.
He plays. Minor spoiler. I think it's pretty much in the trailer that they go back in time, and then Josh Brolin is young Tommy Lee Jones,
right?
And does a Tommy
Lee
Jones.
They fired Rip Torn, obviously, for his drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Because he was in the other Men in Black.
Was he the boss? And now Emma Thompson.
They killed him off. And they showed him on screen for all of 6 seconds where they went at his funeral.
So anyway, it's this movie just to me. I mean, it's just like it's more of Men in Black. And if that's all you want, it's fine. But it's just not. It's just not a great movie. It's just, it's sort of there. It's just kind of doing its thing. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
The ending, it's funny, although they do have this sort of twist at the end, which you spoiled for me because I was like, I'll never see that. And then you told me the ending, which I kind of so I saw coming, although I think people see it coming anyway.
Yeah.
But that was actually pretty good. I thought that worked for me.
Well, and they
went, sort of went this emotional way, which whole movie is bubblegum stupid, and then it gets serious at the very end, and it was actually kind of good.
Well, and that was all reshot, by the way.
That was part of the reshoot?
They couldn't, there was like
they put an angle in it that they wasn't there?
Yeah, they couldn't resolve the whole time travel ending, and so they
put... Well, that works, though. That, yeah. It sort of changes the overall fiction of the series, then, but I think in a good way.
I thought there was some funny stuff when Will Smith, when he got pulled over by the cops.
Yeah.
They were doing a little race humor a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There was sort of the fish out of water of the thing in the city, but it was okay.
I'm kind of over the whole, hey, look how exotic the 60s were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was okay.
You know what's really weird? The 60s are now almost 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Yet it doesn't feel that way.
Well, we've talked about this before where time sort of stopped when the internet hit, and now we're all like,
if you were alive in 1900 and people were talking about in 1850, you would think the world was so different.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't, it would seem longer to you.
But it seems like since 1998, things have kind of been the same in one sense.
Yeah.
That there hasn't been giant cultural swings 12
years
or
of
something.
A circle.
I can remember one or two things.
Well, I mean, what does that
mean? Geez, I don't know.
Two towers?
Yeah.
But I'm saying,
that was the best of the Lord of the Rings movies, the Two Towers.
The Two Towers was great.
Yeah, really
no, but I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying in terms of, like, if you go back, I don't think things, you know, the 90s were 20 years ago, and it doesn't feel that old.
It sure doesn't to me.
When you revisit it. I mean, I guess because we lived it.
Me neither.
But I think it's different than, like, in the 80s. The difference between the 80s and the 60s was, like, completely different. Like, crazy, wildly different. Mm-hmm. And now you go back to the 90s, and, the grunge years and stuff, people's haircuts were different, and, the dress was different, and the music was different. But
here's the difference.
Yeah.
You turn on, like, an episode of Friends.
Yeah.
There's some awful 90s fashions.
Yeah.
But by and large, like, Chandler doesn't look all that different.
Right.
Yeah. He's not wearing wacky stuff.
Yeah.
I'll say 2002 doesn't seem like 10 years
ago. Okay, sure.
The gap from, like, What's Happening, if you watched a What's Happening to a Friends, gap looks massive.
Yeah.
And if you look, it doesn't
And that look, really was only like 13 years or something
right,
between those
right.
two.
Like 79 to 91.
Right.
Anyway.
All right, so Men in Black 3, I'm giving it probably 2 out of 5 fingers.
Yeah, okay.
And again, it's not there's nothing in the movie that was offensive to me or terrible, but I just didn't like it. It was just like, I'm not recommending it.
I guess I'm grading on the scale of relativity based on other stuff that's terrible.
Yeah.
So that I was entertained by it. So
Right. I had a drive-in double feature was where I saw Men in Black 3.
So. Yeah.
I saw Avengers before that, so I finally got to see that.
You know why you didn't like Men in Black 3? Because you'd been through 2.5 hours of Avengers.
I wouldn't have liked Men in Black 3 no matter what the fuck I went through.
But I mean, by the end of 2.5 hours.
I'm giving Avengers a thumbs up review, but Avengers didn't knock my socks off. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was they did enough to make it good, but I don't think it's a great movie. I don't think it's a great, I think I liked X-Men First Class, and I think I liked Captain America for sure more than I liked Avengers.
I could see her
as a movie.
Sure.
But, it was fine. I mean, they did, you sort of feel like destroying a whole city is now the domain of Michael Bay, But then you look at the cover of any comic book, and it's a whole city getting destroyed.
Yeah, right, right.
So you can't really fault them, right. Although I feel like that's a very easy way to end a movie is, you know.
What else were they going to do? They had to
right,
lead
right, right,
to,
right. Yeah. And Avengers is fine. It's, you know.
I thought the script for Avengers was pretty good.
Yeah.
There was good dialogue. The dialogue was pretty snappy.
Right.
Loki had some fun speeches
and
stuff.
Yeah, it was,
it was too long. To me, the problem with Avengers, it's a little too long.
It is too long. Because they do, you know, they have like two major sequences where all of the main actors are together and talking, and those both go on for about 12 minutes or so, it seems like. And then they kind of break off, and one guy goes mm-hmm. here, and one guy goes there, and, you know. They do their fights, and you know they used Hulk well. I mean, I know a lot of people think that.
Oh yeah,
that was sort of the highlight of the movie. Was
well,
Hulk.
The Hulk looked great. I mean,
yeah, they did. They did good Hulk, but I mean, he still shouldn't. I don't know why he flies around like he's you know, like he's you know, like a hummingbird. I don't get why there's no gravity seems to apply to
right,
Hulk.
Sure,
that he can just sort of leap off a moving jet to another
yeah,
moving
right,
jet.
Right. His jumping,
it's a little.
His jumping should be a little more.
It just seems,
hard. I know, what
but whatever. You know, Hulk. I think is one of those things.
Matt's
where,
retired from the conversation.
It's okay, Matt. You feel free.
Are you a DC guy and not a Marvel guy? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, I am.
I'm not a comic book guy, but
I don't care. I don't have any. Like when you see like on the internet where guys are like, "The Dark Knight is going to be better than the Avengers." Like there's a contest. Who gives a shit?
Well,
I don't know.
Do you get a bonus if one of them
I don't
makes
know. There
more than the
partisans.
Other?
There's Marvel Zombies, well, and then there's DC Nation, and I've always gone both ways.
Yeah,
I've always
exactly.
been. Mm-hmm. I've never had well, a. I guess I lean a little Marvel.
I have no dog in the fight, but I get that
as I wear a Captain America.
You wear a Captain America shirt for the.
But it's also the U.S. national team is playing tonight.
Oh well, who knew?
So I like.
Well,
to
we
wear,
need to wrap this up and get you right over
right.
there. Get your scarf.
Well, they beat Scotland 5-1.
Jesus. But yeah, I mean, I'm giving it on the 5-finger scale. I would give it 3 fingers, which is a recommendation.
Okay.
But you know, I didn't. Nothing about it bothered me. But it was like you know, yeah, this is good. But you know, it's not like you know, people are saying this is like one of the highest grossing movies of all time. And I just sort of feel like whatever comes out that people want to see is the you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this. Movie ranks among the best.
I think because of the way it was built.
Yeah,
with,
most
with
definitely.
The 4 movies leading up
they
to
all,
it.
All and it didn't feel like a sequel. It felt like a continuation
a
of
culmination
all right.
of
so
all the other
stories. I think
lines.
That was unique about it is the way they built it.
Okay, that's good. And I'll give them that. But I don't know. I
liked Captain America.
Don't you
I thought
think,
that was fun.
Okay,
me
let's
too.
Make predictions quickly. Will the Dark Knight beat this gross-wise?
I don't know.
I think it will. I'm saying yes.
It'll come real close.
Yeah,
depends on what's the running time.
I don't know, but it's going to be long. You know it's going to be 2.5. The other
Dark,
ones
no one will be, I'll put it this way, no one will be upset with the money Dark Knight does.
Right,
no.
but I think part
I think
of...
It'll outgross, the, it'll grow, outall, Dark Knight Rises will outgross the Dark Knight.
But what will it outgross Avengers? Right
could be.
Yeah, but possibly.
But I think I feel like Avengers has that advantage of it went first, and it was up against nothing. And it was really the only thing to see for a while because everything else was garbage.
I was surprised.
And I feel like
I was actually surprised Men in Black beat it.
Yeah, Men in Black narrowly beat it. But still, Avengers had been out for almost
four
a month.
Weeks.
So, yeah. So I think that'll do good. Spider-Man, I don't know how that's going to do.
I think people are
going to Spider-Mans
be...
are giant. Were giant,
yeah.
the three that Sam Raimi made. But, God, I feel like no one really liked that third Spider-Man.
No, they didn't.
I feel like this looks a lot like the other ones. So.
It's it looks like a reboot to me.
It,
looks
yeah, it
like
is a reboot.
I mean, it is a reboot. I mean, it looks like it kind of is weird because it looks like it is a reboot, but it looks like it's like
it's a reboot and
it looks
you know
reboot ish.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people kind of got their
say,
fill. It might be too soon to reboot.
Be,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if people were missing Spider-Man. All
I
that
think
much.
It'll be. I think it'll be pleasantly surprised. I think it'll be better than people are expecting.
It does have
it
your
be.
Girl Emma Stone.
It does have Emma Stone in it, and that's fine. But
looks,
you know,
can
I
just
think it'll be pretty good.
One minor nerd quibble here.
Sure, go ahead. Corey.
I hate the yellow lenses.
Oh, the yellow lenses. Oh my goodness, I who knew.
Spider-Man has never had yellow lenses.
But that is something they just did for the movie character?
Yeah, he's never had yellow lenses. It's awful.
I like that suit.
You know when he would have yellow lenses when he had his spider sense?
Well,
his, you know, sometimes they make his eyes light up.
Well, how do you feel about the fact that he has mechanical shooters?
Yeah, who cares?
Really?
I actually liked the organic shooters. It made sense.
Well, anyway.
All right.
Spider-Man coming soon to a theater near. And you didn't see Prometheus. That's the big release.
Haven't seen it.
And anything else?
Gonna
that you've
see it
seen
this week.
Or anything?
No, nothing.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's fine.
G.I. Joe Retaliation got pushed back till next year.
They can keep pushing that back because who cares?
God. That's how bad. Now I want to see. This is what frustrates me.
You want to see it more now?
No, we'll never see the cut. They're going to shit can.
Oh, there's going to be an early cut. That
whatever cut they
Well, they could put that on a Blu-ray.
Well, they were
going to
kill everybody from the first movie, pretty much.
Well,
that was the plan, was that they were like...
Did you see that first movie?
Oh, yeah, it sucked.
I saw a few minutes of it.
Well, then why not... they have big stars in this new one. They have The Rock and Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. Why not to just do that? Why
Nobody
not,
liked...
Because
Channing Tatum got big since they made the first one.
No one likes him.
Yeah, I don't.
What was he in? Chicks like him. Who cares? Yeah. G.I. Joe's not for chicks.
I know.
No one saw Battleship in this room?
Oh,
by the way, I want to ask you a question about...
I have now opted out of bad movies. For many years, I would just go see everything.
It was a badge of honor to see
Even
every
Even if I wasn't getting paid to see it, I would go watch every fucking thing.
I don't remember fighting a robot in Battleship as a kid. That wasn't part of it.
I do remember killing werewolves and shooting ladders, though. That was,
okay, we'll see that. We'll look out for that movie. But all right, maybe we should wrap it up here. I don't know. What else is there to say?
They're making a Hansel and Gretel witch fighter.
Of course they are.
Witch hunter.
Why not? Why
would they fucking do that?
Well, they just did. They did a Snow White movie that came out with Julia Roberts that no one went to. Mm-hmm. And then there's another Snow White that's coming out this week.
Right
now, yeah.
And I think that's trying to appeal to Twilight fans or something. I don't know what
What we can learn from this and from the television?
What's that?
Sometimes if you shove a bowl of shit as far up America's ass as you can, it's going to come back out. And this is what I believe for the career of Leslie Ann Thompson.
Oh,
you can shove a bowl of shit up people. What?
Something
in your head. Why am I beating
up? I think Matt's point is that no one even make a big deal. It's making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be. So
I'm going to go do 61 minutes at an open mic in Madison Heights at a beer bar,
dude.
And I'm going to claim victory over comedy.
But I don't know. I sort of feel like Matt is going.
Getting too big for us.
Well, I'm reading Matt now. No. Like Matt can't speak for himself. But here's the point.
You kind of have to.
I have to. I'm interpreting his grunts.
I just.
I'm interpreting his facial expressions. That no one can see. That why by getting upset about it, you're placing an importance on these things.
Yeah,
that really would not be there otherwise. You're making some open
mic. That's what I've tried to tell him.
Some open mic guy making a claim about how he headlined a comedy club when in fact he just did an hour.
Yeah, you're
of crowd
too big
work
for that.
In front of a thing. Maybe you're making that a bigger deal than it should be.
You are.
Okay. Good. All right. Good point.
All right.
Moving along.
All right, Corey. We love you though. You're not wrong.
Indeed.
You're not wrong, but you're wrong to be upset about it as you are.
It's not like it consumes my every waking moment, but if I'm in a room with other comedians, I might talk about
it. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay. Well, that's why we have this show.
It's not like I go home
and
I sit in the dark and I go, I'm going to get that bitch. I just, when another comic talks about it.
I mean, when I hear stuff like that, I sort of laugh at it and go, what an idiot. And that's as far as it goes with me. It doesn't really make me. I mean, maybe if I had a better head for the business, I would say, maybe that's something I should do. And when you said about this guy who booked his own comedy show, and made himself
good for
a headliner,
he booked his own comedy
and he did. I said, maybe I should book a comedy show. Maybe I could get.
It gets upset to me because one, I didn't think of it, and two, I feel like if I called that same bar, and went, hey, can I do an hour?
They'd
give me
go
grief.
Fuck yourself.
And there's something about me.
There's
that
something about
want.
You. Well, you're fearing that rejection, and you're also maybe you don't have that delusion of grandeur about yourself that a new guy has. That a new guy feels like he's ready to be the star, whereas you feel like you are in comedy, and since you're in comedy and he's not, you have a place. You have a pecking order that you are sort of following, and you have that. And when you're not in it, you don't have that. You have the freedom that I can go wherever I want and do whatever I want. And you're sort of feeling like, no, I have to work within the system. Well, and the system says that,
all right,
let's
wrap the show up.
Yeah, no, because it feels like we're dumping on you, and I don't want to.
No, it's fine. The thing is, I'm not self-possessed of the notion to go, hey, let me call up some terrible titty bar in Romulus and book myself. Because I know that's going to be a bad experience.
Sure.
One, because I've done comedy in bars in Romulus, and I don't, it doesn't sound fun to me.
Yeah.
And two, I don't have respect for the bar that runs. I think it's some shithole.
Yeah, exactly,
so I'm not going to go and kiss the guy, the manager's ass to get a gig.
Yeah, I mean.
And so I'm losing on two fronts.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. You know, eventually, you know, if you can get yourself to the place where, you know, if comedy for you, when comedy, comedians don't like to admit that comedy is just a way to make money. And that, when you put yourself in that position, you can free yourself from a lot of, you know, the vanity of the thing, and you can also sort of put yourself in a position to, you know, maybe expand.
There's a way to make money and like the product that you're making, and I think it's more likely now than it ever has been.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I think that the gate minders have less influence. And we're giving them more than they should.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think maybe when you have when you can censor yourself and when you can say, I don't want to, you know, I understand the venue. A person that doesn't understand that a place is not a good venue for comedy may be more likely to have success there than somebody who goes, this is going to be a shithole.
No, it's a shithole.
And you're going to know it's a shithole, and somebody that's oblivious.
Because they'll send other people to do it and collect a booking fee.
Exactly. So what I'm saying out there to our listeners,
please say it. Say it now.
The Joel Radio audience.
Joel Radio's audience.
The Corey and Joel alumni. 610-552-0746.
That's right. That's the number.
That's the call-in number. Call us. Tell us whatever you had for lunch. Or
whatever you want to talk
about. Or if you're
going to
go see Eddie Rabbit or whatever. DT,
I think he's dead.
Or REO Speedwagon.
But
Eddie Money.
Eddie Rabbit.
Eddie Money.
I like that.
Eddie
Rabbit.
Money's playing, too.
I love A Rainy Night.
Go
that
see
was
that.
Eddie Rabbit.
But what I want you to do, and I know most of you are like shut-ins and mental patients, and you're like serial masturbators that live in Dusseldorf, but if you got a friend, if you got a cousin, if you've got a coworker who might be amused by the ramblings of a couple of idiots,
right? Well,
In central, south central Michigan, where are we? We're
southeastern Michigan.
Southeast Michigan.
Spread the word.
Yes.
Tell your
it's funny with all
evangelize
these comedy podcasts that are out there now. That you know, we actually predate every comedy podcast in the world. So
almost
we are the original show. So.
And we did all this stuff that now everybody does.
Yeah, we've done live shows and performances. Matt's been part
premium
of those,
content.
Yeah, we've done all that stuff. So anyway,
you're like the Little
and
Richard,
and no one cared. we're not even Little Richard. We're like Esquivel. We're like the guy behind.
We're like Rocket 88. That's us. Yeah. We're that single.
I can't think of the guy's name. There was a guy that Little Richard ripped off. We're that guy that no one knew. We're like Hank Ballard. Checkers out there doing the twist.
We're in a juke joint somewhere in the Everglades, and yet somebody's all right, we got to go.
Matt and I are going to go come in. We're going to both hang. We're going to hang each other.
No.
Matt's out there fighting. I'm proud of you.
Matt,
good comedy.
Congratulations. And
check him out on Twitter.
MattMcClary.com.
Puts funny stuff up there all the time.
July 5th through 7th, Joey's.
Joey's in Livonia, July 5th.
I got passes.
He's got passes. Yeah. There he is. And he's ready to use them, so please.
Well, chicks make passes at guys with free passes.
Hey! All right, let's get out of here. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Matt. We're out of here. Catch you next time. Leave your comments on the front page of JoelRadio.net, of course, as well. And we'll see you on the next show, whenever the fuck we decide to do it. Thank you. Good night.